today on Real Radio.
Did you know that God not only knows all the numbers of the stars and the planets and all, he names them. He gives the names. By the greatness of his might and the strength of his power, not one is missing. He doesn't miss one of them. What does that mean to you? He's not going to miss you either. He's not going to miss you.
Welcome to Real Radio with Pastor Jack Hibbs. I'm David Jay, thanking you for joining us today as we listen, learn, and are challenged by God's Word, the Bible. On today's edition of Real Radio, Pastor Jack, in a message called The Grandeur of God, Part 2, continues a series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. Thanks for joining us today. You know, the prophet Isaiah was God's mouthpiece during one of the most turbulent periods in Judah's history. But it was his visions of Jesus Christ as the Messiah that made Isaiah the most often quoted prophet in the New Testament. In our previous episode, taken from Part 1 of Isaiah chapter 40, we saw how the grandeur of God can be seen in his creation, in the salvation of his gospel, in his faithfulness of having everything under control, and in the full revelation of his return to earth. The day is coming when the promises given by God to Israel will come to pass, and we can count on the promises he's given us to be fulfilled. So today, on day 3 of Isaiah chapter 40, Pastor Jack tells us that we can reflect upon the grandeur of God for all eternity, and his splendor is for all to see. He counts the stars and names them. He hangs the earth where there was nothing and binds up the waters in thick clouds and directs the rain. Yet even with all the wonders he's created, he knows our names individually, and he wants to have a relationship with us. And now, continuing his lesson called The Grandeur of God, Part 2, here's pastor and Bible teacher Jack Hibbs.
We just had our Israel meeting last week. We're getting ready to go to Israel with our next tour of people. And someone asked me, is it safe? And I said, yes and no. Yes and no. Is it safe to go to Israel? No, it's not safe, because you have to drive from Chino Hills to LAX. There are more people killed in LA County than there are people killed in Israel in a year or more. Think of that. When you get to Israel, you're going to be very safe. You're going to just be blown away with how safe you are. Then you got to come back. Then you got to drive back, jet lag, down the 105 again. So yes and no. But man is wayward from God. And the very personality and the being that loves you the most is being resisted by people. And religion's dangerous when it pushes God away. We carve things, we make things. Listen, how honest can I be here tonight? Honest? Listen, there are people who come in and out of this church that we know. We know because we're meeting either with their husbands or their wives or their kids or whatever the situation is. They breeze in and out. Or the community thinks on them about something. And this person is living this kind of a lifestyle. This guy is this way. This woman is that, doing this, doing the other. And in ministry, we know. He said, I thought I was getting away with it. Well, you were until you were at that place and you didn't think anybody was looking, you see. But the very person that you helped get a seat in Sunday service also saw you at that strip club because they were walking by and you were going in. You see, that happens. So you got to be kidding me. Oh, I'm not kidding you. Listen, just because somebody goes to church doesn't mean they're going to heaven. You don't get to heaven by going to church, for crying out loud. The very grandeur and glory of his person is holiness. God is holy, and that's not a boring word. Are you, oh my gosh, do you want us to like take off our makeup and put our hair in a bun and wear black? Is that what you want by holy? No! The holiness of God is the fear of the Lord. What does that mean? You want me to be scared of God? No, that's not what it means. The fear of God is to be in reverential awe of his grandeur. He is awesome. He's not human. I'm going to see him someday face to face. He made the universes. He measures out the oceans in the hollow of his hand. He's light. In him, there's no darkness. And the Bible tells us, the psalmist writes that even if he were to go somewhere that was dark, his presence in the darkness, it's still light all around him. Wow. When you fellowship with God, you walk in light. Supernatural light. Listen, when you traffic in darkness, you're dumb, spiritually dumb, dumb and dull. Listen, that's why a backslidden Christian's so miserable. They walk in the light, and then when they backslide into the dark, they're not happy. I love looking at a backslidden Christian. They're miserable people. They're standing there, they got, you know, they're either doing dope or they got a whiskey or something, or they got, they're backsliding, and then they're like, hey man, it's so cool, you know. And it's just like, something's wrong with you. You know what? You can tell if you're a real Christian if you're backslidden. You can't even sin good anymore. Listen, if there's people who say, I know God, and they're having a, they just having a hootin' time, sending up a storm, and they could, happy-go-lucky could care less. Listen, they're not Christians. They're pretenders. They're a dime a dozen. The real believer that's not walking with God is miserable. The Holy Spirit's just really on them. It's great. Beautiful. It is beautiful because it's evidence that they're owned by God. And it's great to see their life getting all beat to snot because they're disobeying God and God's not blessing them. God just pulls back. You say, how dare he do that? Oh, wait. Don't you do that? You would do that. You do that. But he's holy. You might do it because somebody hurt your feelings or your kids forgot to mail you a card or they didn't say hi. That's your personality. It's fallen as it is. Listen, God's perfect. He's perfect. The deity of man is what's worshipped today. And Romans chapter 1, verse 23, it says that mankind, unbelievers, religious, but unbelievers, change the glory of God into corruptible God, into an image made like corruptible man. That's when man leaves God, he always creates a God that is convenient. Birds, four-footed animals, creeping things. Therefore, God also gave them up to uncleanness. Because that's what they want. In the lust of their hearts. Where's the lust? Is the lust outside of them, church, or inside of them? Inside. Listen, before you became a Christian, your lust was inside of you. My lust was inside of me. My lust would drive me to go fulfill the lust. When you become a Christian, the lust, listen, the lust is taken out of you. You still fight it, but now it's trying to get in. As a believer, it's on the outside trying to get in. And remember now it's not here, now it's here. It comes in, thought, boom, attack, thought, and you fight. Before you're saved, it's resident in here. It's part of you. So look what he's saying in Romans. The lust of their hearts to dishonor their bodies among themselves, who exchanged the truth of God for the lie and worshiped and served the creature rather than the Creator, who is blessed forever. Amen. Amen. See, the great thing about human gods that we make, man-made gods, is the fact that they approve of everything that you want to have. Man-made gods are okay with our lust, our pride, our anger, our desires. The gods that we make, the gods that we carve, think of it. You ever drive around town, just start looking. By the way, we need to do this more and more. You know the sticker, the cross sticker that we have? We should get those out to you more. Put them. Here's the deal. Back in the old days, you'd put the sticker on your windshield of your car, your skateboard, whatever. And the deal was back, we need to resurrect this. Whenever you saw that sticker on a car, you were supposed to pray for the person, people, the family in the car. We need to get more of those out. We got thousands of them. You just need to go grab them, or maybe we'll stick them on your forehead on Sunday or something. But listen, have you noticed though, stickers, like t-shirts, stickers say a lot about the car, not the person, the car. Some people have, you know, NRA stickers or I just saw, maybe you're here today, I saw you pulling in a Bernie Sanders sticker on your bumper. No, don't laugh. They might be sitting next to you. But you know, you put your, what is that? You put the thing, or there's a logo, or there's a thing, or there's a deal, or, you know what I'm saying? It's like you care about something you put on your car. I'm a proud member of the Union Local 395 workers steel mill thing. And you put that on there. Or this is always a great one. There's a guy driving a Porsche, but he has a Porsche sticker on the back of his windshield. Like, we don't know it's a Porsche. Don't know, but anyway, you think the car would be enough. What's worse than that is a guy who has like a Yugo with a Porsche sticker on the back of his windshield. Not really. Not gonna work. But we have this association with things that we approve of. And we need to remember that. People's Facebook sites are modern day displays of our gods. Our Facebook, our social media announces who we really are, our personality in person. The pictures, the statements, the tweets. It's interesting, isn't it? That's actually much better in getting to know someone by looking at their social media than meeting them in church. My, it's quiet in here right now. You want to know somebody? Look at their social media. It's what the FBI does to get to know people. And someday Jesus said, everything that you and I have said will be repeated in heaven. You say, who's got the time? It's eternity. Isn't that scary? Oh, man. I mean, that makes me sick. That's scary. Number 6 is in verses 21 to 24. We're looking at the grandeur of God can be pondered forevermore. When's the last time you heard the word pondered? It's a good old English word. To muse upon. To be saturated upon the grandeur of God. Verse 21 says, have you not known? Have you not heard? Has it not been told you from the beginning? Have you not understood from the foundations of the earth? It is he who sits above the circle of the earth, and its inhabitants are like grasshoppers, who stretches out the heavens like a curtain and spreads them out like a tent to dwell in. Ladies and gentlemen, go research this. I'm running out of time. Go find out the correlation between Isaiah 40, verse 22, and a guy by the name of Christopher Columbus. That's your homework. What in the world does Christopher Columbus have in relation to Isaiah 40, verse 22? I'm not going to tell you. You'll have to go study that. But that gave him a clue. And he went against the age. They thought he was nuts. What an awesome statement that is. Verse 23, and he brings the princes to nothing. He makes the judges of California useless. I mean, of the earth useless. Scarcely shall they be planted. Scarcely shall they be sown. Scarcely shall their stock take root in the earth, when he will also blow on them and they will wither, and the whirlwind will take them away like stubble. Man thinks he's so great, and God says, your existence is like a vapor. Lisa and I are big fans of that History Channel program, The Men Who Built America. It's fascinating. The Men Who Built America. You ought to watch it. Fascinating. But where are these guys today? I mean, where are these guys today? I mean, they built empires. They were the richest men in the world. Where are they today? It's not bad to be rich. It's not bad to build an empire. It's bad to do it without God. Man's greatness. Wow. It's amazing. Verses 25 to 26, the grandeur of God is obvious to all who will see. And I stress will. Are you willing to see the grandeur of God? To whom then would you liken me? Or to whom shall I be equal? Wow, says the Holy One. Lift up your eyes on high and see who has created these things. Isn't that awesome? God is a teacher. He's a scientist. He's a parent. He's an instructor. He's your Lord. He's your shepherd. He's your Savior. Who brings out their host? He's talking about the heavens. Who brings out the host by number? He counts all the numbers. He calls them all by name. Did you know that God not only knows all the numbers of the stars and the planets and all, he names them. He gives the names by the greatness of his might and the strength of his power. Not one is missing. He doesn't miss one of them. What does that mean to you? He's not going to miss you either. He's not going to miss you. Lift up your eyes on high, he says, who created all these things. Listen, Job 26, verse 7. I'm going to go fast, so hang on. He stretches out. The word in Hebrew is needs. You know, to knead, push, to pull, like dough. Isn't that a weird word? But that's what it means. He kneads, pulls, pushes, and pulls out the north over empty space. He hangs the earth on nothing. Okay, the earth is not on a giant tortoise going across the universe, as some religions teach. It's not, listen, the sun doesn't set in a mud hole somewhere every day, like some religions teach. God hangs all this stuff on nothing. He builds up the water in his thick clouds. That is genius. Isn't it amazing? A cloud floats over your head and then puts so much water on you could knock you down, you know? Man, a flood. How'd that flood get here? It floated over here. You ever think of that? It's brilliant. How do I move all this water over North America? I know, I'll invent a cloud. Try to do that at home. God did that. Yet, look, yet the clouds are not broken under it. The way you can fly an airplane through the same cloud that is bombarding the people beneath. Go figure. Job 38, verse 2 says, who is this that questions my wisdom with such ignorant words? Brace yourself like a man. God is speaking to Job, poor guy. Because I have some questions for you, and you must answer them. This is God speaking to Job now. Where were you when I laid the foundations of the earth? Tell me, if you know so much. Can you direct the movement of the stars? Bind the cluster of the Pleiades? Or loosen the cords of Orion? Can you direct the constellations through the seasons or guide the bear with her cubs across the heavens? Do you know the laws of the universe? Can you use them to regulate the earth? That's God speaking to Job. Wow, I want to show you something, the grandeur of God. First thing, grandeur of God. X-shaped structure of stars spotted at the center of the Milky Way. Maybe you've seen this some years ago. X-shaped structure. No, first of all, notice X-shaped. That's what they've called it. JPL. Here in Pasadena, is calling what you're about to see the X structure. X. Do you know what an X looks like? It looks like top left-hand corner. That's an X. Next picture. That's it. That's an actual photograph from NASA. That's the Hubble Space Telescope photograph. That's the X structure universe or galaxy. Is that an X? What does that look like to you? They can't say that, though. If that's an X, how did these JPL scientists pass first grade calling that an X? Isn't that, I'm just saying. And then finally, we end with this, verses 27 to 31. Why do you say, O Jacob, and speak, O Israel, my way is hidden from the Lord, and my just claim is passed over by my God? Israel had lost hope. And God says, don't talk like that anymore. Don't think like that anymore. Your cause, your case has not passed over me. God says to them in verse 28, have you not known and have you not heard the everlasting God, the Lord, the creator of the ends of the earth, neither faints nor is weary. His understanding is unsearchable. He gives power to the weak. And to those who have no might, he increases strength. Someone say amen to that. Amen. It is absolutely awesome. Verse 30, even the youth shall faint and be weary, and the young men shall utterly fall. But those who wait on the Lord, the word wait means to be bound together or woven or weaved into the fabric of the Lord, shall renew their strength. The word renew is exchange their weakness for his strength. They shall mount up. The word mount up is to ascend above and be lifted up. The picture is of an eagle catching a thermal, rising ever higher is the word in Hebrew. A bird catching the ascending heat waves, picking up that bird aloft. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run and not be weary, to run with haste, with purpose toward a goal. They shall walk and not faint. The word walk is to, they never stop going forward. One of the most beloved verses of the Bible, verse 31. This is God's promise to all of us as we put our trust and faith in Him. Are you weak? Are you tired? Here's the great word from the Lord. If you're weak, turn to Him. And the amazing promise is, even if you slow down, you'll walk. The word means you'll never go, listen, you'll never stand still and you'll never go backward. Even if you're going forward slowly, you're going forward. They that wait upon the Lord shall renew their strength. They shall mount up with wings like eagles. They shall run, they won't faint. They won't grow weary. They'll walk and they won't faint. They won't go back. What a great promise that God has given us. Father, we thank you for your truth. We thank you for your promises, the grandeur of who you are. You are beyond our comprehension. We don't have to get in a spacecraft to go out to the moon to look back to see that. We can just simply ask you, Lord, give us eyes to see your grandeur. In the name, church, why don't you stand as we pray this? Lord, as we stand in prayer, we may even lift our hands to say, will you, Lord, give us this vision? Will you give us, Lord, this insight? Will you open up our eyes and the eyes of our hearts and minds? Unlock, Lord, to us the vastness of you. And Father, all of our burdens, cares, worries, complaints, and fears, Lord, help us now to put them in the proper place, and that is before the grandeur of who you are. And all of a sudden, those things become nothing to us. Fear, death, cancer, finances, worry, before you, they're nothing. We shout like Zerubbabel shouted, grace, grace to this mountain of worry or this mountain of death or this mountain of fear. We shout your grace, Lord, to it. And we thank you, Lord, for Jesus, his cross and his resurrection that makes it also very possible. Through him, salvation is alone in the grandeur of our great God. In Jesus' name, and all God's people said, amen. Amen.
Pastor and Bible teacher, Jack Hibbs, here on Real Radio, in a message called The Grandeur of God, Part 2. Thanks for joining us today. We're really glad you're here. And you know, God in all of his grandeur can still be depended upon in your daily life. So don't lose hope. He knows and he sees all. The Grandeur of God, Part 2, is part of Pastor Jack's series called The God of Our Salvation, the Book of Isaiah. It's a series that brings to light the ministry of the Old Testament prophet Isaiah, who shared with us the coming of the Messiah, our Lord Jesus Christ, over 700 years before he was born. And we'll continue on the next edition of Real Radio. Here on Real Radio, we've talked about what's available at our website many times, but it's important for us to remind you about the tab at our website called Know God. The Know God tab, that's K-N-O-W God, it's a way for us to show you just how much you mean to God and that he loves you and wants you to spend eternity with him. The Know God tab gives you insights on what it means to be saved and why each and every one of us needs salvation. It's also there to help you share your faith in Christ with others in a clear and precise way. So head on over to our website, click on the tab that says Know God. You'll find that at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. And if you need to get a hold of us, call us, 877-RR-RADIO. That's 877-777-2346. This program is made possible by the generous contributions of you, our listeners. Visit us at reallifewithjackhibbs.org. That's reallifewithjackhibbs.org. I'm David Jay. Until next time, Pastor Jack Hibbs and all of us here at Real Radio wish for you solid and steady growth in Christ and in His Word. We'll see you next time here on Real Radio.